Your inner geek wants to come out and play. But where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hi.
The show's namesake, I think, is still in the bathroom.
Is it?
It's been 5 days.
Hey, guy.
We don't know where he is. No, he's fine. He's on assignment.
Grandpa got lost again.
Grandpa.
But we've got Joey D's running the boards.
That's right. And I can't find him, but I'm here to help.
On today's show, we will get comic book recommendations from Scott over at Comics Dungeon. We'll have BJ. Wait, what?
Huh?
Hey, he pre-recorded a board game review because he's the man.
What a crafty man.
Yeah, he helps us out on that one. We'll maybe get to a little bit of Avengers Endgame news. And of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com, because it's going to have all our information, blogs, podcasts, and more.
More!
But just BJ Geek Nation, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, app, and iTunes for more stuffs.
Exactly. Now let's get some comic book recommendations from Scott over at Comics Dungeon. Scott from Comics Dungeon joins us, and you can get more information at comicsdungeon.com or find their physical store, easy to find right there on the website, and go check them out. Scott, what is going on in the world of comics? What recommendations do you have for us?
Well, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Leviathan event coming up at DC, and it started. And it started with a Superman one-shot, which teased a couple upcoming series that I think people are going to really, really enjoy.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's the story is a Superman story, and without retelling the whole story, ultimately Clark Kent gets kidnapped, gets put into a kryptonite vest, and Lois Lane has to call up Batman and say, "Dude, my man's missing."
Oh no!
And Batman's going, "Are you sure? He does this type of shit all the time." And she goes, "No, I know better than anyone else. He's missing." So Lois Lane and Batman team up, and Batman goes, "You're right. He is missing." And she goes, "Yeah, I told you so." So needless to say, they bring in the Justice League because when Superman's missing, that's a big deal. And, mayhem happens. But it kind of gives us a kickstart on a new Lois Lane series that's starting out. That's kind of Lois Lane at her greatest, being an investigative reporter. So,
wow, interesting.
She might be one of the greater detectives in the DC universe. So I actually think it's going to be a really interesting story. I've always liked Lois Lane as a character, but she's always kind of played the background, at least recently, and look forward to that title.
Nice.
But the other title that's teased in there is there's a quick story about Jimmy Olsen. And he starts out, and we see him waking up in a hotel room in Vegas with a woman, and they both don't have much on except for a bow tie.
Yeah. Oh my.
Yeah, right? So, and he's like, "What has happened? Where am I? What am I doing here?" And the woman ends up being a interdimensional bounty hunter, and they ended up getting married.
Oh, sure, why not? It's Vegas.
Why not? Because it's Vegas, right? That's never happened in Vegas. And she's like, "Okay, I'm out of here, but you got to get this thing annulled." And she goes off to her adventures. And then for some reason in the bathroom is this blue cat. And for those of you following DC, the blue cat is Dexstar. He's one of the Red Lanterns.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I remember that. Wow, really?
Right? And so he's in there. He shredded Jimmy's clothes. So he's like, "Okay, what the hell?" Cat leaves the bathroom. he takes a shower, he comes out, the cat has shredded the bed, and then starts literally puking rage blood all over the room.
Oh, come on, cat. What are you doing?
Right? Yeah, you know, cats and puke.
all too much, man. All too
right.
much.
So, anyhow, Jimmy's covered in blood rage, leaving the hotel, and that kind of launches into the next story. And what's great about this is, I don't know if you follow Matt Fraction.
Oh, he's yeah.
He's done some great books. He's the one writing this story, so it's going to be funny. Lieber, who's a local Northwest artist.
Oh, yeah, Steve Lieber's amazing. And the fun part with Matt Fraction, I think, who also lives in Portland, or at least in that area, he did Hawkeye, and his Hawkeye run was fantastic.
Absolutely. Sex Criminals is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the Jimmy Olsen series. So that's what's happening in DC.
What's going on in Marvel? Anything that weird?
Nothing quite that weird, but they have a new Silver Surfer miniseries, Silver Surfer Black, written by Donny Cates from Cosmic Ghost Rider, Guardians of the Galaxy.
And oh, cool, yeah.
So he's been doing some really good work. The art in it is phenomenal, and I just lost the creator's name, but check it out, it's really good. Silver Surfer has found himself, along with some of the other cosmic beings, in a black hole. It starts off, and Silver Surfer is sitting there trying to save all these guys. Short story, he does, but then he gets blasted into the other dimension, the other side of the black hole, and now he's dealing with being alone in a world he doesn't understand. He's got some guilt issues from some of the things that have been happening in the Marvel Universe. So we get a little bit of a mind trip, both a kind of a psychedelic event as well as a introspective type event for the Silver Surfer. And this miniseries is going to kind of, take us in that direction. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are really saying this could be the best Silver Surfer story that Marvel's produced. So
nice. And this is one of those things that I've always found interesting, and I got excited when they kind of showed a little bit of it in the MCU, is I love the cosmic characters. I love the fact that you can read up about, like, the Living Tribunal or Ego, and the fact that they've put some of those into the movies has been fantastic. What are your thoughts on cosmic characters and incorporating them into the comic books or in the movies in general?
Yeah, I think they're amazing, particularly in the comic books, because you can actually create that scale and you can believe it. And, you know, having Silver Surfer with Galactus makes a lot of sense. It's hard in the MCU. I mean, they did Ego with in Guardians 2, and they made him human.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, but that's not quite cosmic enough for me, right? You know, so I really do love the cosmic, because it really does give you that man versus God type storyline, and you can kind of really get some complex stories with it.
I love it. I love it so much. And again, if you want more information or some comic book recommendations of your own, you can find Scott at Comics Dungeon, and you can find the link there at comicsdungeon.com, and just search for it on social media. It's super easy to find. Super awesome. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you so much, Scott. And keeping in the, the comic book world, but of course we're going to the movie side of this. If you didn't know, Avengers Endgame is headed back to the theaters with all new footage.
What?
Maybe because they want to beat Avatar for all of the global box office records.
I would love if that was the reason.
I think it might be. But also the fact that it comes just a little bit before Spider-Man Far From Home. So a lot of people are also speculating that this might be a reason why, and they might be putting in some bonus scenes from that.
I was going to say, do you think they're going to have an end credit on this one?
Here's the deal.
all of it is happening. Kevin Feige said that all of it's happening at the end. It's not going to be an extended cut. It's, he says from in an interview with Screen Rant, if you stay and watch the movie after the credits, there'll be a deleted scene, a little tribute, I'm assuming to Stan Lee, and a few surprises. So it looks like it might have a little bit of tying in. They're going to have some deleted scenes, some fun stuff. I heard that it's going to be about 7 minutes of additional footage, whether that is some deleted scene, if it's a little bit that's going to help tie into Far From Home, or if maybe they're just going to blow the whole roof off of everything for Phase 4.
It really could be anything.
I know, and that's the excited part, and of course, everyone's just losing their minds.
Yeah, it's a great reason to go see it again, to be honest.
Yeah, right? And I mean, it broke box office records, like just so many of them, but I'll be perfectly honest, and maybe I'm a terrible nerd for saying this, I only saw it in the theaters once.
Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because you saw your movie a million times.
Yes. Infinity War is my movie. Saw it 3 times in the theater in the first week, and then owned it, like literally did the whole snap on New Year's to make sure that that happened, and absolutely shushed a person who was trying to talk to me at my own New Year's Eve party because it was the opening scene where Thanos is just kicking the crap out of Hulk, and I'm just like, hold up, I need to watch this. Okay, now we can continue our conversation.
Literally like when Thanos' buddy holds him back. He says, let him have his fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was totally. It was just like, I'm drunk. Don't worry about it. I'm having fun. I'm partying, but I need to watch this one specific fight.
Yeah.
So the question is to you guys, I'm going to go see this in the theaters because I want to see it again. And then also I want to see this bonus footage. Are you guys going to check it out in the theaters? Are you going to spend the money to sit there for an additional 7 minutes on top of the 180 some odd minutes that it already was?
Yeah, if I still had my little movie pass thing, my AMC movie pass,
yeah,
I would. But I still need to see Detective Pikachu. And like,
there's so many movies I haven't caught up with.
So if I'm going to spend money on a movie, it's going to be a different one.
Nice.
If I Cinnabar it for like $7 and get some
drinks. Oh, yeah. I mean, Cinnabar in the local area here in Western Washington is one of those cinemas, literally a cinema bar, where you can get a couple of extra soda pops, as you were.
Yeah.
And then on the same point, a lot of the times the Tuesdays are cheaper.
Yeah.
So you can do the super cheap, get in there, have some fun, watch a movie that you already know is going to happen.
So you can take the like $10 you save on the ticket and you put it towards a little maybe alcohol or popcorn and you fully enjoy.
Yeah. So yeah, it works out perfectly on that. Speaking of Avengers Endgame, a lot of people, and it's funny, I see the meme right now, is just talking about, hey, all you guys who identify with Chris Hemsworth as Fat Thor, now you know about representation.
Whoa.
And why it's important.
Right.
And Chris Hemsworth actually has a nickname for Fat Thor, which was Lebowski Thor, which, duh, it makes sense. Like, he was literally, like, he was, like, wearing the Lebowski, like, sweater jacket. And here's something interesting about this, though. In Endgame, the original plan was for Thor to revert back to his buff badass self about halfway through the movie, but Hemsworth wasn't about that because he liked Lebowski Thor. He says, quote, it was so different from any other way that I've played the character, and then it took a life of its own. He also got a lot of attention just walking around the set wearing the 90-pound fake stomach. People kept coming up and cuddling me like a big bear or rubbing my belly like I was pregnant, which is creepy and you should never do that anyway. or trying to sit on my lap like I was Santa Claus. You get a lot of affection. I felt like an old man, an old grandpa with a bunch of kids around. That's interesting.
I would never have imagined that happening, but I kind of like it.
Yeah, right? And it was just so funny to see him like that because I was like, oh, yeah, that's my cosplay.
Oh, like, 100%.
Right? I mean, there's like, I want to do a whole bunch of different other random cosplay or like a Halloween costume, but now Fat Thor just, I mean, he speaks to me.
He speaks to the inner Rev.
Yeah, right. Let us know how you feel about going to check out the movie or your speculation on what these bonus scenes or the deleted scenes might be. I'm interested to hear people's fan theories. I mean, this is the podcast and this is how we deal with a lot of these.
Yeah, well, is Spider-Man going to be fighting a good guy or a bad guy in this next movie? I need to know.
Yeah, right. And we don't even know like how Mysterio is going to be because Mysterio could be a good guy, but also he's a big fat liar in the comic book.
He's
so.
A liar and a trickster.
Yes. Moving on from that, let's talk about, BJ's not here. but we still got a board game review from him. BJ, you love board games.
Do I, though?
Yes, and you love to talk about them almost as much as you like to play them.
That's true.
And so what reviews do you have for us right now, man?
Well, the game of the year in 2017 in a lot of people's minds was Azul, which you were a tile-laying person as you were trying to basically build this beautiful tile wall. And yeah, it was beautiful. The pieces were beautiful, and it was kind of like a bingo, tic-tac-toe-y, I don't know what you would call a kind of style of game.
Wow.
It was awesome. You got to draft these tiles from these basically worker floors, and you had to do it the right way, or you get stuck with a lot of tiles. It'd give you a lot of negative points. And
ooh.
But if you could put the tiles in the right places, you'd get a lot of cool points. And how do you follow up with a game like that? Well, instead of tiles, now we're dealing with stained glass with the relatively new game, Azul Stained Glass of Sintra, as opposed to what I kept calling it, Stained Glass of Sinatra, because, well, as we know, good old Blue Eyes had a lot of stained glass.
Sure, yeah, why not? Yeah.
So this is, Next Move Games, they got a lot of cool games, and it involves, like, you know, a puzzly sort of pretty component type of stuff that they bring with it. And this one here, I have to say, Azul Stained Glass of Sintra really does do a good job of, it's very similar to how you get your stained glass. It's almost the same way, pretty much, as you got your tiles in Azul.
All right, yeah.
But what you do with them is different. And instead of actually having to fill out, which looks like a bingo board, instead you've got these columns that you have to fill with patterns of different stained glass. And they're usually, for the most part, they're two color, single color patterns. And so you're sitting there watching the game going, well, I have two yellows and I have four blues, but I want to make sure I get enough to get that filled in. But this time you have a worker. So the worker, it moves from left to right. So if I actually want to put my windows in, my big window area, I have to move my worker there. Well, if I do that, that means if I want to put any more stained glass in the previous windows that I was working on, I can't do it that turn. I would have to rest my worker and have him go all the way back to the beginning.
Oh, and can you move, like, say, if you're just on one end of it, can you move all the way back around to go to that? Like,
no,
on the next
you can
turn?
Move. You can move anywhere from left to right. Any unit, I think there's five or six places you can move.
Oh,
And you can move one to all the way to the end. But once you're at the end, you basically skip your turn to move them all the way back to the beginning.
Ooh, ouch.
Not horrible, because in the first Azul, you'd sit there and go, wow, I'm going to get stuck with all these tiles that I can't use. That's negative points. In this game, you can go, you know what? I think I'll just rest my worker. And then you don't have to go get all those stained glass.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, but everybody has that ability, so you still can be the guy stuck with all the stained glass.
Do you feel that you need to have played Azul in order to play this game?
No. You can easily teach this. And some people don't know if you should own both. I think if you love Azul and you've got friends that love that kind of game, this is different enough that people will like it. But it's also similar enough that people go, oh, do I have to learn another new game?
I know. Some of those are some of the hardest ones, especially the games that have maybe not standard gameplay. Stuff like, you know, like worker placement. When you say, oh, it's a worker placement game, you immediately know what's going on.
Yeah.
And with this, it seems a little, I don't want to say complex, but just different from the standard.
Yeah, and I like that, because people like new, but at the same time, they say they like new, but then they go, gosh,
they don't want to learn new.
Then when the expansion was out, this is nothing like the first game. It's like, well, you said you wanted new, but you really don't.
Yeah, right.
It's a pretty game. I like it a lot. I like the components. Some people think they look like Starbursts or Jolly Ranchers, but I really like them.
Make sure you know the difference when you're at the gaming table.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt about it. You could put these in a bowl and think you were having some Jolly Ranchers. But it's really it's well done, and it's got a cool mechanism where you get bonus points depending on which round it is, because it's always a different color stained glass that's featured in the round.
Mm-hmm.
And if you place that stained glass, you get bonus points. So you can really set yourself up for future turns, because there are double-sided panes, if you will, that we're filling. And you can see what's on the other side of your pane and go, okay, I want to fill this up right away, because five rounds from now, I'm going to have a whole pane of orange. And I can see that, like, you know, in the seventh round, it's going to be an orange pane featured.
So you're going to need that,
an orange piece of stained glass featured. It's really well done. It's about, you know, $35 to $40. You can get it at your FLGS or at Amazon, sure.
How long do the games take?
Not long. Maybe an hour. Let's see, what do they say it takes? They're saying 30 to 45 minutes. So, yeah, I would say closer to 45 if you're kibitzing or you have if you have the full four players.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So that's a good one that you're not going to take the entire afternoon to have to play.
No, not at all. And it's
it's pretty. It's you know, it's puzzly and it's fun. It's easy to learn. Azul, it's a nice follow-up. Azul, Stained Glass of Not Frank Sinatra.
Thank you so much, BJ. And you can usually find BJ on this website, on this podcast. But yeah, you know, sometimes he's on assignment and we'll just get some of his other reviews. But there's so many other reviews that you can check out on the Board Game Alliance, which two people in this room are a part of.
Hey, that's us.
Yeah, hi. It's you guys. And those come out every Tuesday.
Yep. Yeah, we're joined by our boys, Sean and Josh. And we review all things nerdy, con related.
Board
gaming. Summer of con.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Last couple episodes, definitely a bit about cons.
Awesome. Well, now it is time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what's going on?
News about comic book stuff. I mean, it is Wednesday.
Yes, so it is comic book day, so go get your all your new titles from your pull box out there, everybody.
But one of the things that has been buzzing on the internet for the last couple of days, people are freaking out, is that Kevin Feige confirmed that they are in talks with Keanu Reeves. They want him in the MCU if he wants to.
Whoa.
But the question is, who should he play?
Oh, man. Is Gambit in the MCU?
No, he wasn't in the MCU. He was a part of... He's part of X-Men. And
he
but
was
now,
supposed to do that, but now it's into the fold. There's supposed to be a Channing Tatum thing, but that got sort of dropped, I guess.
And apparently, Channing Tatum actually has family that's Cajun, so he can do the accent a little bit. So I kind of want... I think it'd be weird to see him as Gambit, but I kind of want to see what he does.
I'd be down for either of them, to be honest, but if Tatum's out, put Keanu in.
Okay.
Keanu.
Well, there's been a lot of people just throwing their input on the internet because it's the internet. One of them being, of course, Adam Warlock. I think he's got the face for it.
See, I don't necessarily think he does. Like, I've only seen Keanu recently with facial hair, and this is such a weird nitpick, but I think that Adam Warlock needs to be, like...
Clean-shaven. But he can have long hair, I think.
And yeah, the one thing that I have an issue with also is that I kind of... It's so weird, but I kind of liken Adam Warlock to kind of a Rocky Horror. So, like, you need the big, buff, ridiculous guy painted all in gold to do it.
We'll go in more. I have some
and
stuff
maybe
about
I'm
Adam Warlock.
A little just too goofy with it. So
we'll discuss Adam Warlock. We'll do Keanu Reeves right now, real quick. Okay. Somebody else was thinking Moon Knight, which... If they don't incorporate this line, and I don't even know if it's really from a comic book, it's a meme at this point. It's Moon Knight coming down the stairs saying, "I know you're here, Dracula, you big effing nerd. Where's my goddamn money?"
I think that is actually real, and if not, I choose for it to be anyway.
It needs to be in the movie. It's like, "Where's my effing money?"
Yeah, right. It's like, really? You're going to call out Dracula like that? Well, it's Moon Knight. Moon Knight's pretty fantastic.
I don't really know much about Moon Knight. Do you think, like, is he much of a character outside his costume persona?
I mean, essentially, he kind of started off as a, and please, Geek Nationals out there, correct me if I'm off on it, but he's essentially started off as a Batman-type person. But now, I believe he might have either schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder, so it's one of those things that kind of is leading a little bit more into the character development for that sort of thing, and so that has turned him into a more rounded character as opposed to just a dude in a costume with gadgets.
Fair enough.
He does look a lot more like a Moon Knight than he does what do you call it?
Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock, yeah.
Another one that has been brought up, Mr. Fantastic.
Nope, sorry, that's only John Krasinski. That's the only person who's allowed to do it now.
Silver Surfer.
Yeah, like the gold or the silver guys, like the painted over,
they don't have facial hair, but...
I just don't think that they would work. Like, I don't think Keanu should do those ones.
I think his cheekbones would be really good for him. Makeup-wise and everything. I think he would look really, striking.
And for me bitching about this, I mean, seriously, technology has come along so far that we've gotten characters like Thanos, where Josh Brolin is, like, wearing, you know, the most ridiculous stuff, but they have it look really good. Mm-hmm. Or we even have, like, Vision and, like, all these other characters that are wearing ridiculous things. At least being presented as being like otherworldly characters.
But it works.
And still looking good. Hulk, as Professor Hulk, or essentially in the last one. Like, they meshed it really, really well. So I can't really necessarily say that technology would hinder any of this. It actually will probably help, and then maybe it's worthwhile.
Another suggestion, the last one on this list, is Kraven the Hunter.
I would like that. He would be a good villain for that, I think.
It'd be weird to see him as a villain.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because most of the time, he's just kind of, he's not necessarily the reluctant hero, but kind of the hero that doesn't know a whole lot of what's going on, or doesn't need a whole lot of words, and is just right into the action sort of thing, be it John Wick or Neo or any of those.
And I'm basing my knowledge of Kraven the Hunter solely on like a 90s Spider-Man cartoon, like an episode, of the Spider-Man cartoon, where in reality, he wanted to do good. He was just going by a bad means of doing so. So
the
anti-hero
type thing, yeah.
I feel like that would fit Keanu. But circling back to our Adam Warlock talk, there has been many people that have been, you know, speculated to have landed the role. Keanu Reeves being one of them. I even read an article. He has been cast.
Oh, geez.
And then I saw nothing else. And I was like, okay, then that's not true. One big name that also has been, you know, thrown around quite a bit, Zac Efron. And I think he's got the pretty boy face because they're a race of very beautiful, very perfect.
Yes.
Not humans, because they're not humans, but beings.
Yeah.
So I think Zac Efron,
he's got the abs for it.
With the physique.
Yeah.
Okay, he's hot.
Yep.
With the physique, and he's got the pretty boy face. I think he's got the look. I don't know Adam Warlock as a character, so I don't know. I mean, but we know he can be silly. Zac Efron can be goofy.
And Adam Warlock was more of a stoic character. He was the one that really had a lot. I mean, in the end of the comic books with the Infinity War, he was the one that ended up with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm.
And so they've obviously changed that sort of thing. So it'll be weird to see where they go with Adam Warlock's story. Because his stuff was tied around not only the gauntlet, but the soul gem itself. He was trapped in Soul World for a while inside the gem.
Ouch.
So, unless Phase 4 is going to be dealing with that, but they've already destroyed the Infinity Gems or the Infinity Stones in the MCU in this timeline.
They're not completely destroyed yet, though, Rev. They got, broken down to their molecular components or whatever.
And you could always go back in time and borrow them. We don't know where the hell. We don't know where Loki is.
We're done with time travel.
We're getting a Loki series. And I think I posted an article recently, like the first look of the Loki Disney series, which I think is, I don't know if it's exclusively or it's also going to be on the Disney streaming service.
Yeah, I think it's going to be on Disney Plus exclusively. Mm-hmm. And who knows with what they're going to do with it and how they're going to work out with it. But I want to see where they're going to go with it, because I would imagine it's either going to be like Loki as a kid with Tom Hiddleston, not as a kid, but as younger, on his adventures with maybe Tom Hiddleston narrating. Or it's like literally from Endgame where he takes the Tesseract
and kind of goes with it.
Yeah, and just poofs and creates his own timeline, which I'm kind of okay with either of those, to be perfectly honest.
It'd be a good movie. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't die again. I don't need to see him die again.
Oh, I love that.
another one people are thinking, he's a little older, almost 50 years old. Nicolaj Coster-Waldau.
Oh, yeah, Jamie Lannister.
Jamie Lannister.
Yeah. Just say Jamie Lannister.
I know, but I wanted to try, man. I was practicing.
You did pretty good there. Because I can't say it, that's for sure. He's a little bit older.
But he's got the face for it.
Yeah.
I think he could do it.
Yeah, and again,
I'm just basing this off of yellow old school drawings of Adam Warlock from the back of the day.
And to be perfectly honest, with like I said, with the CGI and stuff like that, you could basically take anybody and make them. I mean, they de-aged people for various roles in different timelines of the movie.
With Samuel L. Jackson was ridiculous.
Right?
Or even Michelle Pfeiffer and Kurt Douglas.
Yeah.
Another one on this list, which I know you're going to poo-poo because you already said who you want him to play, John Krasinski.
Yes.
You want him to be Mr. Fantastic, which, funny enough, this even says in this article, he was at the forefront of a very high-profile fan casting.
Mm-hmm.
And in that fan casting, I think they also cast his wife, Emily Blunt, to be Invisible Woman.
Oh, yeah, Sue Summers. I could see that.
Sue Storm.
Sue Storm?
Yeah, close enough.
Something like that?
Storm, yeah.
Yeah.
totally
Johnny
had a brain
Storm.
Fart. Yeah, totally had a brain fart there. But yeah, so I could, I would rather see them doing that as opposed to anything. I think I would rather have Fantastic Four than Adam Warlock at this point. But I mean, there's plenty of movies out there.
And I know they did, there was this teaser. We don't know what it means yet. It's it was like a Spider-Man, like a spider making a web, and it had a number four. So
yeah,
we don't know what
that about?
I'm guessing it's comics. I'm assuming it has to do with the comics, but as of now, I don't know. Another on the list. Have you guys ever seen the show Vikings?
No, but I know of it.
Okay, so I think the main character, his name is Travis Fimmel, the actor. They also cast him as well. He's an Australian actor. Another one being Jamie Bell, who is actually the Thing in that really crappy Fantastic Four movie. He's been in a bunch of other stuff,
too. Do you know who I'd like to see? They'd have to get him a really awesome wig. But could you imagine if they golded up The Rock?
What's The Rock? Dude, Adam Warrock.
Adam Warrock.
Well, sorry, oh that's God. Eugene who used to do that. A friend of mine on Twitter, we've had him on previously, who actually went by Adam Warrock with his chiptunes DJ
nice.
Like name. So it's already been taken, guys. You can't use it.
Side note, if you want to see somebody in a wig, check out, this picture's been floating around Facebook for a while. It's back when they were doing Patrick Stewart as Captain Picard. I think they were testing him out with a wig. He looks so weird.
Totally.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, not what you
no.
would want to see.
No. No. I think we're good with that. Now I've got nightmare fuel and I don't actually, I mean, not to hate too much on it, but keep the man bald.
Patrick, no.
If you want to feel better, go to his one of his social media pages. He was like holding a teeny tiny puppy.
And she's gone.
He does a lot of rescuing and stuff. And so he's like, he's holding a week old puppy.
Are you okay over there, Vicky?
No. Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.